got a thought here tonight. It's probably I won't try to talk too long, but I want to read the scripture. Probably nothing new. We've all heard it before, I'm sure. But this is all that seemed to be present right now in my mind and thoughts. And the last few days I've been thinking about this. Another scripture come to my mind since I've been here tonight. I don't know exactly where to find it. I got this new Bible and it's hard for me to find my scriptures. But it said, God was speaking to Israel. He said, "Oh, if thou hadst hearkened unto my voice and kept my ways, my statutes, and so forth, then," he said, "would I have subdued thine enemies and blessed them." Somebody knows where that's at, you might look it up. But I'm going to read here in Deuteronomy, in the old Bible. All these things, Paul said, were written for our learning and for our examples. And the Old Testament and its genealogies and God's power working among them and his blessings and his promises. I am aware that the code of the old law system was nailed to the cross, its ordinances. Nevertheless, in it, it has many, many good examples that we can learn, examples in dealing with God from. So I'm going to read in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, and the thought is the blessing and the curse. It seems to me like this is one of the chief messages that God brought to his people while they were, Israel, I believe it was, while they were dealing with God. And it seems like to me that they surely should have kept it, and looks like they could not have helped keep it, but they didn't. I'll start reading at the first verse, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command unto thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth." You know, the strivings of the people in general is to be set on high. I want to be above and not beneath. The nations are at war with each other, and Cold War and all kinds of war going on, civil wars. And it's all one nation trying to get higher than the other, rule, so forth. And the Lord was speaking to this little nation here of Israel. It was a small nation compared to the world. He said, "I didn't choose you because you were a lot of people, but you were the fewest of all people." And he chose them to be his peculiar people. The Lord doesn't deal in numbers so much. He deals in quality. And he was trying to teach this little nation here of people that if you'll follow me and you'll hearken diligently unto me and if you'll keep my commandments, then he said, "I will set thee on high above all nations of the earth." That was a precious promise, wasn't it? "And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, and come on thee and overtake thee. Thou shalt hearken unto the voice, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Now he's going to enumerate what he's going to do for them if they'll just listen to him. "Blessed shalt thou be in the city, Wonderful thing to be blessed, isn't it? Blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and of thy flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Now when the Lord blesses something, it's blessed. You remember when Jacob stole the blessing away from Esau, from his father, deceived him. And it seems like in a case like that, the blessing would have to be forfeited because it was stolen by deceit. But when Jacob came to his father, or Esau came to his father, and Esau, he found out what had happened and what he'd done. He said, I blessed him, and yea, he shall be blessed. He couldn't take it back. When God blesses something, it's blessed. That's all there is to it. And the Lord is giving them these blessings on conditions and promises. The promises of God are all on conditions, every one of them. If you'll notice, everywhere God made a promise, he laid down a condition for that promise to be received. And this condition that he laid down was simple, plain, just obey me. Just honor me. Just keep my commandments. And then I'll set you on high and I'll command all these blessings on you. Surely, the Lord wants to bless people yet today. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. In the first psalm, is it, blessed is the man that standeth not, sitteth not in the counsel of the wicked, evildoers. And we'll just get that and read it. The Lord, we're reading right now about the blessings that God wants. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth her fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now I believe that's a blessing that we can bring right on home to us today. I believe it, I've proved it, and I know it's true. And all these other blessings now the Lord has given them and promising them on conditions. And when we follow the genealogy of these people out, and we read in the Kings and the Chronicles and in the following out of their lives, as long as they followed the Lord and honored him like he told them, his blessings come on them. He subdued kingdoms for their sake. He didn't allow their enemies to prevail against them as long as they followed him in sincerity and loved him and served him and kept his commandments. Let's go a little further here now. The Lord, blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. Didn't it say there in the first psalm where I read, whatsoever thou doest shall prosper? He shall bless thee, and the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by my name, by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Now as we follow that out, when Israel started in the wars to take the land, he said the dread and the fear of them fell upon great kingdoms, and the Lord fulfilled his word toward them. As we read on in the genealogies of the kings, a righteous king would rise up, do that which is right in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord would bless his kingdom, and he would grow and subdue his enemies. And the next chapter, maybe even the next king, took the throne and said he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but he did evil. And as you read on, you'll find out it wouldn't be but a little while till the Lord would let their enemies overtake them, bring plagues on them, all kinds of trouble. The Lord shall establish thee as a holy people unto himself. That's what the Lord is still wanting today. A holy people. A peculiar people. A purchased people, he called them one place. Somebody says, holiness. They don't believe in holiness and so forth. Perhaps, in one sense, you don't see a whole lot about holiness in the Old Testament because man couldn't have a real holiness experience, but he could be holy unto the Lord. And by keeping his commandments and by doing all the Lord told him to do, he was counted to be a holy people to the Lord. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. I like that. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Let's see, there's a margin on that. I'll see what's got in it. For good. The Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Now, as he's got these people assembled together, and I believe this is Moses giving this order from God, bringing this from God. We look at the people here as they're getting, maybe in this case just now, getting ready to go over and take the land the Lord had promised them, and they've been coming out so long through the wilderness and all. And Moses wanted the people to adhere to what he was saying to the extent that they would get a hold of it and keep it and receive these blessings. And all the people, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. The heavens give the rain unto thy land in his season. and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and shalt not borrow. Oh, the Lord went in detail about every part of man's life in this, didn't he? Being several years dealing with farming and truck farming and so on, how valuable it is to get a rain when you need a rain real bad to save your crop. I remember one testimony a old sister gave at a camp meeting, and I believe it. I'd seen things just like it. She got up in a testimony, and she said, told a testimony of how the Lord rescued their family by sending a rain on their crop. It was in the hot summertime, and they had a cornfield and all their cattle, and it wasn't in the kind of land we're living in today with all the kind of aids they got and drought aids and government heritage. People didn't used to have that. Even in my day, they didn't when I was younger. When we burnt out, we was burnt out. And there was no kind of government aid for people. There was nothing like that. And this old sister, they had a large family. And their livestock, they had to farm with their horses and mules and their cattle and raise the family on what that little crop produced. That is all. They had to have corn to put in the crib, and corn was actually the stable staff of their life. Kept all of their stock, their fowls fed, and they hauled their corn to town to get it ground up to make their bread out of. And to have a crop failure was disastrous to people in those days. They were poor people, and one crop could just bring almost famine on them. And the sister got up and said, telling about she was living for God and how the Lord had answered prayer and rescued them. And she said the drought was on and the corn looked like was curling up on its leaves, and it looked like disaster was right before them. And she went into a real sincere prayer before God. Put it all out there and told the Lord how bad and how their life depended on that crop. And she said one evening, right along there, the Lord sent a cloud right over their farm. You know how it does here in the summertime. You've seen those little thunderclouds together up there. And it rained on their farm, and just across the fence from their farm, they didn't get any rain at all, but it just rained on their farm and sent enough until it rescued their crop, plentiful in water and moisture to make the corn crop, and they made a bountiful crop in answer to prayer. Now, I believe that kind of thing. Some folks would say that is just a coincidence, something like that. But I have seen the Lord work just like that. Somebody said, the Lord ain't no respect of persons. He said he'd send rain on the just and on the unjust. And he does. But in that case, that was a praying woman. That woman was following after God. And the drought was on, and in answer to prayer, the Lord sent a rain to rescue that family. In answer to prayer. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy ground, and the land which the Lord thy God sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and shalt not borrow. I never was very high on borrowing. A little bit too rough on it, I guess, sometimes. Because I always had rather do without than to borrow. But there's a lot of people got a weakness today. It's so easy to borrow. You can go out tomorrow if you've got a job, pretty good reputation, and you can borrow more than you can pay back for years to come. Thou shalt lend to many nations and shalt not borrow. Now, this is the blessings that God is
given through Moses to Israel on one condition. Just follow me and keep my commandments. Looked like it would have been easy to do that, doesn't it? Looked like everybody surely would have wanted these blessings. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. The psychiatrist says every man's born with a tattoo across written across his chest, I want to be great. I want to be above. Human nature. Striving to be above and not beneath. That's human nature. Now these people didn't have salvation and a heartfelt born-again experience from the Lord to change their natures. They were just humans by nature. And the old carnal nature was there. And the Lord's dealing here with the people in the same state that they were living in. And I'll make you above, he said. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. It's human nature to want to be the head of things, isn't it? That's about what most of the trouble in all circumstances around companies where they're working. It gets in the church. Cause more church troubles caused over somebody wanting to be the head and not the tail than any other problem. Splits up congregations. Causes people to pull off and get two or three. I'll be the head of two or three if I can't be the head of more. And so on and so forth. Human nature wants to be the head. And the Lord said, I'll make you the head. He told these people, if you'll follow me in these promises I'm giving you, I'll just make you the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou shalt hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do. That's simple, isn't it? Just looked like, surely, that everybody that heard that, was in that congregation, and heard Moses giving these gracious words, would surrender deep down in their heart, Lord, that's offering me everything the human desires and needs in life. And there he was. Now these were temporal blessings the Lord was offering these people, because this is all they dealt with. They didn't have a spiritual life. It hadn't been brought to them yet in that sense. And all they could measure in and deal in was temporal things. And the Lord was offering them the top of all blessings, the cream, you might say, of the earth. And just one by one, to study these promises, it would meet the human need, the human desire, and they was listening, and Moses is giving this out. I'm sure there were people there that said amen to that, most of them, I guess. Had a deep desire in their heart. I want that. And I'm going to keep his commandments, and I'm going to do that. But now the Lord turned the picture around here and told them what would happen if they didn't. He gave them a choice here. He set before them a choice. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left to go after other gods to serve them. You know what the greatest grief that God has ever had with mankind, the thing that grieved him the worst of all things that a human could do? You know, we classify sin. We're normally and natural for us to do that. Some fella get out here and get to be a drunkard or mistreat his family and carry on all kinds of ungodly life. We look on them, that's an awful thing to do. That's a sinner, and it is. But if you'll notice in the scriptures, the Lord didn't count sin like we do and classify it as we do. The thing that the Lord was against the most that a human being could do was to worship an idol.
That's right. You run that out. You'll find that.
For his people to turn away from him and go bow down to an idol, to be an idol worshiper, to join with them people, he said that's the reason he drove out the people and give them that land, because they become idolatrous people. Idolatry is about the greatest hatred God has that sin that man does. Now, we don't have no idols like they did those days, and we're supposed to be a civilized group of people, and far from that. But those people would make some old image out of gold or silver or out of anything, and they'd set it up and bow down to it and worship it. You know what Israel done when Moses was gone so long on the mountain, and how Aaron made a calf out of their gold rings and things. When Moses come down from the mountain, they was marching around that old calf without their clothes. How heathenish and idolatrous they had gotten in 40 days. It stirred Moses so great that he threw the commandments that God had wrote with his own finger down on the ground and broke them. God's wrath is kindled against people that go idolatrous. Well, we could go into quite a thought on that, but I won't right now. We don't have and bow down to them kind of idols, but I want to say idols are not altogether clear in our world. Maybe not that kind of an idol, but people worship a lot of things today in their hearts and lives, turn their affections toward a lot of things besides God. But anyhow, the Lord put it plain here. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. He said, I'm a jealous God. Now, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all the commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. There's two sides to the Lord. We often have said and dealt with people, and there are people that all they think about and all they want to hear about and all they want preached to them, and there are preachers similar to that, is to preach on the love side of God and the mercy side. But there is a scripture that said, behold therefore the goodness and severity of God. You can take the coin out of your pocket, and on one side of it, it's got a picture of one of our statesmen of some kind. But it's got another picture on the other side when you turn it over, doesn't it? In dealing with God, the Word of God is filled up with His love. The songs made about it, sung about it, all the love of God and how great it is. But there is another side to God. God is a loving God, and God is a God that blesses and helps people and wants to bless them and wants to help them and does until they turn away from Him. And then there's another side to God. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. I've watched people, and I've had even preachers say, the Lord didn't call me to preach judgment. He just called me to preach salvation to people. That's all right. You need to preach salvation. But I maintain that if God, my records of God's callings in the Bible of all of His prophets, if you'll notice in Jeremiah, when He called Jeremiah, He started him out, what did He say? He was going to root up, tear down, and root up, pull down, and root up, and destroy, and plant, didn't He? And I notice in all the prophets, the most of them lost their lives because they preached judgment. He said, judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet.
So, I maintain that if God calls a preacher to preach his gospel, he'll preach both love and he'll preach judgment too, because there is both sides of this to God. Now then, the Lord's going to reveal to these people some of his other side. Why, what I've been reading here is the very top of man's supreme terrible calamities. We see that if we're not careful, we question God. But God turned right around here now, and he's going to give us the other side. And this answer some of our question marks that we're living among today. And it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Remember now, he started off, blessed shalt thou be in the field, and blessed shalt thou be in the city, and so on. If you follow the Lord, if you serve him, and if you love him, rejoice, O man, O young man, in thy youth, he said, and go and walk in the ways of your heart. But he said, remember one thing, for all these things you're going to have to come to judgment. Cursed shalt thou be in the field and in the city. Now, when God curses somebody, a person or a city or a nation, God deals individually. God deals collectively. God deals nationally. He has always done that. He's dealt with nations. Remember what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? That whole nation come under the curse of God, didn't it? There have been many more since that, too. And he's still ruling in the kingdoms. God's still the same God that printed these things and give them to mankind, had them printed for us. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field, if you don't follow the Lord. That's what this is coming from now. Cursed shall be thy basket, and cursed shall be thy store. Now, when God puts a curse on something, I don't care how much you strive and work and labor and save and carry on, if God's curse is on it, you're fighting a losing battle. Cursed shall be thy basket. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursings, vexation, and rebuke, in all that thou settest thine hand unto, for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he have consumed thee from off the land, whether thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with the blasting, and with the mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heavens that is over thy head shall be brass. What a terrible, terrible curse that would be. The heavens over us to become brass. That means, what it, Jeremiah in the Lamentation said, thou shuttest out our prayers. They cannot go through. When the heavens gets brass over you in your prayers, you're the most cursed person that could be, and God won't hear a prayer. With blastings and with sword, and with blastings, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heavens over thee, thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make thee rain of thy land like powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee, and till thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against thee, and flee seven ways before them. And thou shalt be removed unto all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcasses shall be meat unto all the fowls of the air, and unto the heavens, and to the beast of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. The Lord shall smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the hemorrhoids, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness, and blindness, and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope in the noonday, as the blind gropeth in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall take her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thy eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and thou shalt not, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto other people, and thine own eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thy hand. The fruit of thy land and all the labor shall nations which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed. From this sole of thy foot unto the top of thine head, the Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, into a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. And there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. I think that's enough a reading of the curse. Now, this difference here between the blessing and the curse rested upon what? Following and obeying and honoring God. And refusing and rebelling and going your own way. Now, I know this was given to a people many hundreds of years ago. And as we read on and we find out, at times they would repent and follow this blessing. Every time they did it, the blessing began to come back. The mercy of God was extended to them when they repented and revived up. But it wouldn't be but a little while, it seemed like, till they get up so far, and then they begin to slip away again. That's been the records of history. We come on over into the New Testament church.
And Paul tells us these things were written for our examples and for our learnings. And we find as we begin to read the New Testament history that in the Acts of the Apostles, the records of the church, the true church of God, how the Lord began to bless them, and nobody was able, even hypocrite among them. Remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira? Remember where we read over there in the Acts, and he said, great grace was upon them all, and when they prayed, the place was shaken. Oh, they were having a glorious time, wasn't they? Then from there on, we have a brief history of the church in the Acts, written by only, I believe, Luke may have wrote that. Maybe. Then the records we have of the epistles of Paul, Peter, short one, and James, and John, Jude, and then the book of Revelation, written by the elder John. And all those were given in a short period of what we'd call maybe 100 years. John lived to be about 100 years old. From then on, just the records. That's all we have of the New Testament church, official records in the Bible. And from there, we have to go to history. And we have the records in history of when the church prospered. The Lord blessed them again when they come back. And when they fell away, the Lord allowed curses again to come their way. We have the martyr age. We have the crusades. We have reading church history on down. It seemed like the spiritual side of the church kind of paralleled with the physical side back over there. Every time the church get in a kind of a, I don't know how to say it, a lethargy state. It said over there in one of the prophets, he said the people were saying the Lord's not going to do good or he's not going to do bad. It just kind of, he said, the angel went through and he said the people were all settled on their knees and they were saying the Lord's not paying any attention to us anymore. He's not doing good and he's not doing bad. And so on. He said the people set us still in his rest. When we find the church begins to let up on its spiritual battles and its fight against sin and ungodliness, begins to compromise his word. I believe he gives us a little example over there in Malachi, was it? The last prophet, and he was carrying on and asking the Lord why. Why was he dealing with them in such a way? He said, because every one of you say, he that doeth good, he that doeth evil is good, he said. Kind of a spirit like, everything's all right. Nothing's wrong anymore. That's all fanaticism to practice some of them things you people preach and teach. The Lord don't care how you dress. The Lord don't care how you look. The Lord ain't interested in those kind of things. He just wants your heart and he wants you to serve him. And that spirit's what I'm talking about, gets loose. That's a compromise, falling away from true holiness. The Lord is particular about his people in laying down the ordinances and commandments in the old law system, and we've been having it in our Sunday school about the priesthood, how particular he was that the priests washed their hands and their feet before they went to minister, lest they die, he said. And the Lord put a death penalty on a lot of his, look like to us, simple things. He that don't do these things often, it said, he'll be cut off from among his people. Other places, he said, on the Sabbath day, he give a commandment, if they gathered sticks on the Sabbath day, a death penalty was put on them. God meant business when he's dealing with people. He still means business today. Jesus gave us the commandments. We don't live according to the Ten Commandments God gave them. Nowadays, you can keep all the commandments and still be a long ways from the Lord. God wants us to live holy lives today. He wants us to have holiness in our hearts. And He's still particular about how we live. He wants us to forsake sin. He wants us to forsake the world and its sinful part of it. And He gives us the example over in the Galatians about the works of the flesh. And Paul said, I've told you once and I'm telling you again, he that doeth these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. John gives us very strong instructions to love not the world, neither the things of the world, and so forth, for all the lust of the world and the pride of life is not of the Father but of the world. God's still particular today. There's still a blessing and a curse goes with God today. God will bless people that will honor Him. He said, them that honor me, I will honor. God will curse those that get ungodly and wicked. And we're living in a world, I don't know, I think sometimes when you read about all these calamities that are coming on the earth, the people has reached a point to where they don't believe in curses and blessings of God anymore in general. On the Let's Talk program, I happened to tune in. I think it was only last night, tuning in for the news. They had some woman on there talking about this late disease that broke out among the gays. One man broke in, and I don't know who he was, but he let them have it. And it was a curse from God. Tried to give them some scriptures about the curse. And of course, that fellow right away went to their defense. No, no, you can't prove that. And he got after him and cut him off. Too short. He said, there's too many people don't believe that. In other words, people just don't believe there's a curse that God has and a blessing God has. And everybody's got to have their right today, you know, to believe what you want to believe. If you want to believe God curses people, keep it to yourself. Don't push it on nobody. If you want to believe God blesses people, keep that to yourself. But you let the fellow alone that don't believe any of that. Just stay away and let him have his freedom and all. That's the attitude of the American society at this time. But I believe tonight that God is still blessing people that will serve Him. And I believe that He'll still send a curse on many of these calamities that are happening in the land. I believe they are a curse from God because of men's wickedness. And that way, by looking at the scriptures and reading them, understanding that God deals with man yet today, I believe God's still interested in the human race. The Bible says His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth, beholding the evil and the good. Didn't the Bible say that? God's still looking down on these communities filled up with these thousands of homosexuals, wickedness they're carrying on, wild parties it's carrying on, about like the parties they carried on over there in Daniel's time when the old king got so wicked. God destroyed him that very night. Oh, the Lord help us. I'm still going to believe the Bible by the help and grace of God. I'm going to believe there's a blessing and a curse yet today for people to receive from God. And I want to live on the blessing side. And I want to obey the Lord to all of my understanding. I want to honor Him in my life and stand up for the right and for the truth. I don't want to get into this spirit that everything's all right. Just go right on and give every man the right to do his best and do your thing in life and let them alone. Of course, we can't go get them by the throat and convert them and all that. But you know, the Lord told the prophet over there one time, He said, you warn the wicked and you warn the righteous. So I have thought a few times we can fail not to stand up for the Lord in warning the wicked. We're in a wicked time. We have wicked men in our world. We have them at our doors. We have them in our even kinfolks' trees and families. We have them neighbors. We have them in our town and in our cities. And the greater part of all the society right now are high-minded, wicked people when it comes right down to measuring it by the Word of God and the Bible. May the Lord help us tonight. Let's study these things, and they're examples to us. God deals the same way with us today as He did with people back there. And He still wants you and I to honor Him and serve Him. Be conscientious with God, with an open, clean heart toward Him. Honest with God. Oh, that word honest with God means so much today. A fella told me this evening, business friend of mine, talking about another businessman that had been his friend, he'd been in business with. He said he's one of them fellas that goes to church and sits up in the Amen corner, and he said he lies and he steals. He said he's a wicked person. Now, that's a terrible thing to be said about a man that's called a church-going man, isn't it? But that's the truth. I've dealt with many people as deacons in churches. And I'll tell you right now, you better watch them. I know them today. Carrying on, sinful lives, living in sin, deacons in the church. The world's filled up with that kind of people. But oh, the Lord has still got a little remnant of people that want to serve Him. And I believe if they'll do that, if they can claim this scripture I read to you out of Psalms, blessed is the man that sitteth not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. His delight is in the law of the Lord. The Lord will bless him, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. May the Lord help us tonight. I thought reading these, the word of the Lord is more important than what I think and what you think, whether or not we believe that or not. But the Lord help us. These are examples to us, Paul tells us in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And as God dealt with these people with a blessing and a curse, I believe He's still believing and dealing. The blessing and the curse is still dealt out. And you see some of these great calamities that are happening. It's just almost unbelievable. I believe they're curses from God sometimes. I believe that. So the Lord help us and bless us. I want to serve Him in honesty. And I'm aware that the devil is still alive and he still don't want people to be too sincere with God. He wants them to just kind of go at random and do what you best you can, so to speak, what you think's right. But what I think is right has nothing to do with God if it doesn't agree with God's word. Romans book said, let God be true and every man a liar. May the Lord help us.